All right, let's dive into a case today that's, well, it's pretty dramatic and impactful. It's Fletcher v. Peck. So imagine this, right? A state government sells off a ton of land
Yeah.
for basically nothing. Why?
Bribery.
Rampant bribery.
Okay.
And then a few years later, they're like, wait, we want it back? Talk about a mess.
Yeah, that's going to cause some problems.
Sounds like early American politics to me.
Oh.
All the drama, corruption, and of course, you got to have the Constitution in there.
Oh, absolutely. And it all ends up at the Supreme Court. Classic.
Oh, of course it does.
So, to untangle this whole thing, we've got a few sources.
Okay.
There's a legal analysis of Fletcher v. Peck,
Right.
a perplexity analysis, and then a standard legal brief.
So we're getting the full picture.
We are. And this isn't just some boring old history lesson.
Right.
The stuff that went down in 1810, well, it still matters today.
Oh.
When we think about contracts, government power, it all goes back to cases like this. I see. Yeah, that makes sense. It's those foundational cases that really set the stage for everything that follows. By the end of this, I bet you'll be able to see just how relevant Fletcher v. Peck still is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Property rights, government regulation, that balance between stability and justice, it's all there. But first, we got to set the stage, right?
Oh, let's hear it.
So, rewind to the 1790s, the Yazoo Land scandal.
The Yazoo Land, what?
Scandal.
Okay.
Sounds more like a soap opera,
Quite a
right?
bit.
But the drama was real. Georgia needed some cash and fast. So, they decided to sell off a big chunk of their land out west.
How much are we talking?
35 million acres.
Wow.
That's like the size of Alabama.
That's a lot of land.
And they sold it for, get this, $500,000.
500,000.
500,000.
That's a steal.
It was. But it wasn't just bad financial planning. There's bribery involved. Lots of it.
I was going to say something doesn't add up.
Oh, yeah. The state legislature, many of them were basically in the pockets of these land speculators. These guys were itching to get their hands on this land for pennies on the dollar.
A classic case of a few well-connected individuals profiting at the expense of everyone else.
Exactly. So fast forward a year, and a new legislature comes in.
Okay.
And, well, they're not too happy about this shady deal they find.
I imagine not. So what did they do?
They repealed the Yazoo Land Act,
Yeah.
said it was fraudulent, void, the whole nine
Didn't
yards.
they just hit the undo button?
Well, they tried. But here's the thing. The land had already been sold. New owners are in the picture now. So can they legally just take it back?
Ah, so that's where the real legal battle begins. Trying to right a wrong versus upholding those contracts, right?
Right. And that brings us to John Peck. He was one of the original buyers of this Yazoo land.
Okay.
Now, Peck sells some of his land to Robert Fletcher, but Fletcher gets a little worried.
What spooked him?
He's thinking, hold on, if that original sale was illegal, my title to this land might not be worth much.
Smart guy.
He was. So he decides to sue Peck.
Sue the guy who sold him the land.
Yep. He claims Peck didn't actually have a clear title to the land when he sold it to him.
Clever move. Force the courts to deal with the legality of the Yazoo Act head on.
Exactly. And this little dispute between two guys,
Yeah.
it ends up at the Supreme Court.
No way.
Oh,
Wow. So what happens next?
well. Presiding over this whole thing is Chief Justice John Marshall. And now things get really interesting.
I bet they do. The Supreme Court, John Marshall thought stakes are high now.
Oh, yeah. Now they've got to deal with some big questions.
Like what?
Can Georgia legally revoke that land sale, even though years have passed and new owners are involved?
Right.
And even bigger, does the Constitution's contract clause, you know, the one that says states can't mess with contracts,
Yeah.
does that protect someone like Peck, even though the original deal was shady?
Those are some heavy questions. I'm hooked. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Marshall, he knew the Yazoo deal was corrupt. He even called it deplorable.
but he still sided with Peck, the guy who benefited from it.
He did.
That doesn't seem right. Shouldn't the court, you know, punish the people who took advantage of a bad situation?
You'd think so, right? But Marshall's argument was, well, it was a bit different.
How so?
He said the court's role wasn't to judge the lawmakers' morals. Their job was to interpret the Constitution and uphold the laws, even the bad ones.
So even a law born from corruption is still the law.
In essence, yes. Marshall argued that when a law acts like a contract, it creates rights, vested rights, they're called. You can't just take those away retroactively.
I guess that makes sense. Like if you buy a house and then the rules change, they can't just take it back.
Exactly. It'd be chaos if every new administration could just undo everything from the past.
Yeah, that would be a mess.
Total mess. Marshall was all about legal certainty, making sure contracts were upheld. He felt like that was the most important thing, even if it meant letting a corrupt deal slide. He thought economic instability and people losing trust in the legal system, those were bigger problems.
So even though the Yazoo Act was, well, let's say questionable, once it was passed and people started buying and selling based on that law, they had rights.
They did.
I bet that didn't sit well with a lot of people.
Oh, it was definitely controversial. And not everyone on the court agreed with Marshall's logic. Justice Johnson, for example, he wrote a partial dissent.
Wait, so he agreed with the outcome that Peck should win?
He did.
But he didn't agree with why.
Right. He thought states just don't have the power to revoke land grants, period. Contract clause aside, he was more focused on property rights, that sort of thing.
So they reached the same conclusion, but take different paths to get there.
Exactly. And it's a good question for our listeners to think about, too. What would you have done? Uphold the contract, even a corrupt one, for the sake of stability? Or side with Georgia and try to undo a bad deal, even if it means breaking some legal ground? Oh, tough call.
No easy answers there. It's like, what's more important, following the rules or doing what feels right?
It's a classic legal dilemma.
In Fletcher v. Peck, it had huge implications, not just for this case, but for how we think about law and business even today.
Oh, absolutely. This case, it makes us think about the role of the courts, you know, how much power the government should have, that balance between the law and what's just. Those are all still relevant questions.
So let's shift gears a bit and talk about the lasting impact of this case. Besides, you know, giving law students something to argue about for centuries, what are some of the key takeaways from Fletcher v. Peck?
Well, this is the first time the Supreme Court struck down a state law.
Whoa.
Yeah, unconstitutional. Huge deal, right? Yeah, huge. That really set the stage for the court's power. I mean, deciding the balance between states and the federal government.
And that's been pretty controversial, hasn't it? Even today, we're still talking about how much power the court should have.
Oh, for sure. Fletcher v. Peck really opened up a can of worms there. But it also made the contract clause super important. Like, it was a message to states that you can't just mess with contracts. Even huge, messy ones like the Yazoo sale.
So it protected property rights, made things more stable for business, you know? Because investors got to know the rules won't just change overnight.
Exactly. Helps the economy, too, if people feel like they can trust the system. But of course, there's always another side to the coin.
Right, there's always a downside. What was it this time?
Well, some people say focusing so much on contracts, it ended up shielding corporations too much, even when it wasn't good for the public.
How so?
Well, it made it harder for states to regulate businesses, or to pass laws protecting workers, or consumers, anything that seemed like it was messing with existing contracts.
So it's like a trade-off then. You want to protect people from the government overreaching, but then it might make it harder to actually help people when they need it.
Yeah, it's a tricky balance. And we're still figuring it out today. I mean, Fletcher v. Peck was a big step, but the debate about the contract clause, well, it's not over.
Wow, it's amazing that a case from 1810 about land, it's still relevant today. Are there any more modern examples of this whole contract clause thing?
Oh, definitely. There's home building and loan, Assen v. Blaisdell.
Okay.
This one was in 1934, the Great Depression. Lots of people were about to lose their homes.
Yeah, tough times.
So Minnesota, they passed a law that let people delay their mortgage payments, you know, so they wouldn't get kicked out of their homes.
So the state was interfering with the contract between the homeowner and the lender.
Exactly. And it went all the way to the Supreme Court. Does this violate the contract clause?
Right back to Fletcher v. Peck.
Yep. But this time, they upheld the Minnesota law. They said, look, it's an emergency. The state needs to help people, even if it means messing with some contracts for a bit.
So Fletcher v. Peck said, contracts are important, but Blaisdell said, hold on, there are times when other things are more important.
Right, like protecting people from losing their homes in a crisis, sometimes you gotta bend the rules.
So it's not as simple as just saying all contracts have to be followed no matter what.
Nope, the courts learned that over time. And like we said, the whole debate continues. How far does the contract clause go? When is it okay to make exceptions?
It sounds like Fletcher v. Peck, it wasn't just about a land deal. It was about something bigger.
It really was. It was about those big questions. Government power, individual rights. And we're still asking those questions today.
Well, there you have it. A deep dive into Fletcher v. Peck. Bribery, land deals, Supreme Court drama. It's all there. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you learned something.
And like we always say, this is just the beginning. Go check out those sources we mentioned. The legal analysis, the perplexity analysis, the brief. There's so much more to learn.
Keep those legal minds sharp, everyone. And remember, sometimes the cases that leave us with more questions than answers, well, those are the ones that really make us think. See you next time.